Yep. From Philadelphia, PA, this is the Young Robots Podcast.
Everybody, how's it going? This is DJ Aptwan, and welcome back to the Young Robots Podcast. Sorry, we've been on a bit of a hiatus, but hopefully people have been enjoying the Young Robots Mix Series, which we've been putting up on our Mixcloud page. That's mixcloud.com/youngrobots. And that's a great place to find the podcast. You can find it on iTunes as well, or at youngrobotspodcast.tumblr.com. Want to shout out Mixcloud for hooking us up with some nice features on their site recently. So this is a little bit of an unusual edition of the podcast because we've actually bumped some previously recorded stuff to get some timely breaking news going on. I had recorded an interview with Venice Beach Band, who are some fantastic new disco producers and DJs from Paris. We did some shows together on my last European tour, and they just were in the States. We recorded an interview in my studio. However, the forces of nature kind of intervened, and we're going to be hearing from Young Robots label co-chief DJ Ayers reporting live on the spot from Brooklyn and telling us what's going on with Hurricane Sandy in just a moment. But first, let's hear one of the recent releases on Young Robots. This is The Talk by Fashion. And you can find this and all other Young Robots releases at all your favorite retailers. Check it out, youngrobots.com. We'll be right back. Hey, I'd like to welcome DJ Ayers, who is one of our co-conspirators in Young Robots, and Ayers is in Brooklyn, New York.
It's a conspiracy because nobody knows about it.
That's true. That's true. And yeah, and we also have our meetings in the center of the Earth, which
we're it's very Mole-manic.
Yeah, totally, totally. I mean, I gotta say, Skinny and I know a lot about how to conduct conspiracies merely because we're both Jewish, and therefore we're hypersensitive to being accused of being conspiratorial. So we figured we might as well take a crack at it if people are going to think that way anyway.
He checked up on me yesterday, and he said, I said, you know, we're good over here. Still have our lights on. And he said, I said, the girls don't really understand what's going on. And he said it might be time to explain to them how the Jews control the weather.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So Ayers and I are talking. It's Halloween, and I'm in Philly. He's in Brooklyn. And just if you're listening to this months after the fact, Hurricane Sandy has just fucking thrown bows at the eastern seaboard over the last couple days. Where I am in Philly, in West Philly, we're pretty high up. We didn't really get any flooding. It was just pretty windy. It wasn't nearly as bad as Hurricane Irene, actually. There were a lot more trees down and flooding along the rivers and stuff. But you guys got destroyed in New York. I mean, things are bad up there.
Yeah, it's crazy, and it really does depend on what neighborhood you're in, because it wasn't like, I mean, a lot of shit did get knocked down by the wind, and I was riding around on my bike in Park Slope before they, or Prospect Park before they kicked me out the park, and saw like a lot of big ass trees down, and I feel like with the hurricane a year ago, more trees got knocked down, but that's probably because now there's a lot less weak trees because they got knocked down the first time. To knock down this time, but the crazy shit here is that a whole neighborhood in Queens burned down. It's this neighborhood where all the firefighters live. Over 100 houses burned down, and then like on the beaches here, especially Rockaways. Like I keep hearing anecdotal stories about people's houses are gone, and you know their parents live on the beach. They had to come into the middle of Brooklyn to stay with them because their house isn't there anymore, and like a lot of bad shit. And I haven't made it out there that far. Today, my brother-in-law tried to drive to the city, and he gave up after about 3 hours. You know, normally that's about 15 minutes to get there.
Yeah, yeah.
But we would go through the Battery Tunnel, and the Battery Tunnel was breached, and a bunch of water went in there. The trains aren't running. Schools are out. It's pretty weird. I mean, yesterday was more surreal than today. Yesterday was the night before last was when the storm was at its worst, and then yesterday, walking around like nobody was out. Now people are trying to get to the city, but like the buses are all full and trains aren't running, so it's still kind of nuts out here.
Yeah, my brother lives in Chelsea, so he's south of that point in Manhattan, below which all the power's out, and.
Right,
He lives in a studio apartment, so he doesn't keep tons of groceries on hand, and he actually had a bit of a cold and stuff like that in the days before, and was like spending a lot of time, you know, trying to sleep that off, and didn't like go into full on like hurricane bunker mode in terms of like getting supplies and stuff. So he's staying on the Upper West Side with some cousins of ours, but he's having a hard time getting back and forth because he needs to like go back to his place and pick up a bunch of clothes and things like that, and he's trying to figure out how he's going to get to work and in the next couple days, and it just seems like the infrastructure is like going to take a while to get going again. Subway's going to take 4 or 5 days, stuff like that.
Yeah, I mean, I read something this morning that it was going to take 11 days to be up to 90% for the subways. I was supposed to DJ on Monday night, and that got canceled. And that's going to fuck my paper up a little bit for the whole week. They're talking about trying to do it tomorrow night, but I don't think it's going
to
happen.
You were supposed to DJ Monday this week.
This week, yeah. And I'm supposed to play on Saturday, too, which is a wedding. And it's weird, like, you know, I got the timeline for the wedding. She emailed me yesterday, and it just didn't seem like a good time to be thinking about that. But, what else could she do? Like, imagine how bad that sucks if you're trying to have your wedding and, like, the airports are closed.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm... next Wednesday, I'm DJing... every year, I DJ the... art and design benefit auction for the Design Trust for Public Space in New York. So those are the guys that last year we did like the celebration of their, they did the exploratory studies for creating the High Line and stuff like that. And that's,
oh cool, yeah,
that's next Wednesday. And it's at a gallery called Gallery 9 on West 18th Street. And I haven't spoken to anybody from there, but like, who knows how long it'll be till the power comes on. I mean, hopefully if the power's on, we'll do it. But I mean, just can anybody get there? They may postpone it. I have no idea.
I mean, this is one of my distinct memories from September 11th. Looking back at it, you know, we were in shock and didn't really understand the enormity of it. But I remember when we went up on the roof and watched the towers fall. I was thinking like, oh, there's people inside, or there's people in the subway, they're going to get trapped or whatever. I was thinking, it was like watching a statue fall. You know what I mean? Like, you're not even thinking about the people. You're thinking about this great big monument. The tallest building in North America just fell down. That's good. Or whatever. Chicago had one bigger. You think about that, and it takes a few days later to sort of figure out what's actually going on, and it takes longer than that to figure out how you're feeling about it. And I remember thinking, like, oh shit, maybe we're not going to get to have our party tonight. That was on a Tuesday. Maybe we're not going to be able to DJ tonight at our party. That would suck. You know, I want to see my friends and drink tonight. And it turned out like, you weren't going to party that week. You weren't going to party for the next 2 weeks. And downtown, like Manhattan, the club scene, you know, never really recovered from that. Everything moved from there to the meatpacking district, and people couldn't ride a bike across Canal Street with drugs to sell to Wall Street guys, and the Wall Street guys weren't there anyway. You know, like, just all these microeconomies were affected by it. Like, restaurants down there closed down, clubs, and it's crazy how this kind of shit like shapes. And my man, Kenan, who was the manager at Southpaw when we did the Rub for years, he was posting up Instagrams, and his studio got flooded. He's in Red Hook. Jen Lyon is in Red Hook. She does Mean Red Productions. They do a ton of parties here. Yeah. So I don't think Jen was flooded, but Kenan apparently lost a bunch of art and records in it, and, you know. What's gonna happen?
Well, I mean, one thing that I did, both in the hurricane last year and again this year. So this year, last week I was playing in. I had a tour gig in Louisville, Kentucky, on Friday, and then one in Pittsburgh on Saturday. And when I flew into Pittsburgh, I said to the airline agent, you know, at the gate, I said, by Saturday, it'd become kind of clear that the hurricane was going to come ashore on the East Coast probably on Monday. And so I said, hey, you know, what can I do to rearrange my plans? And she basically said, you either got to get from Pittsburgh to Philly on Sunday. I was planning to fly on Monday. My parents live there. I was going to watch the football game with my friends and sort of relax after staying up until 7 in the morning for two straight days.
Yeah,
and then
survival mode Sundays. I'm very familiar.
Yeah, but so she says, you either got to get out of here on Sunday or it's going to be Thursday because not flying. We're not making any scheduling. We're not scheduling any itineraries into Philadelphia, New York, whatever, between Monday and Wednesday because we have no confidence that we'll be able to fly. And everything was booked on Sunday. So I woke up on Sunday morning. I finished DJing at, I think my set lasted until 6:30 in the morning. And I was playing this after party. I go home, sleep about 3 hours, wake up, just stay on hold with the airlines and waiting for somebody to tell me that somebody canceled. And I got home and I was happy that I got home to bring us back to your original point because I needed to go and take pictures of every piece of studio equipment, furniture that I'd bought in between Hurricane Irene and Hurricane Sandy because that was the last time I thought to like go and record the serial numbers for my new computer and like make sure the receipts were in a safe place and like back up my hard drive because I was if the water would have come through the roof where my studio is, like that would have been a big problem, you know, and I'd have to prove that I owned all that stuff.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't think about that sort of thing.
Yeah. We live on the third floor. We live in an apartment on the third floor, so we're above, I think, having much damage where we are. So we're fortunate. It's fucked up. I mean, like, not having electricity and having kids for several days. I think that one of the worst things that happened here was that one of the hospitals, one of the big hospitals in Manhattan, the backup generators failed and they had to evacuate all these, you know, people who were sick and dying. They had to empty all the beds in the whole hospital. That's crazy. In a city this big with everything going on that was. Stuff. I don't know. Let's talk about something else.
Yeah. Well, I mean, since we are sort of a partially talking to people and personally listening to music ass podcast. Can you think of a good hurricane song to play us into talking about something else?
Yeah, Hurricanes to Ring, Still Licking Shots. Untouchable like with the chicken pox, yeah. Yeah. OGC the Storm.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's hear that. All right, here's the storm.
Okay. I see their lips moving
at this time,
but I don't know what they're saying.
Fly.
Let's move closer.
It's the storm.
I be Starang, man, I gets wicked on the flow.
It's Louisville, yes. You know I pack the bat like so.
They call me Top Dog, but better known as the Yo.
Motherfuckers better act like they know.
I can be as good as the best of us and be as bad as the worst, so don't test me. The Yo has had it up to here with those niggas that don't be knowing who we are. Have you lost all your respect for the squad? If so, y'all bitch ass niggas better get that shit together. Cause D.O.G. will rain on that ass like the weather. Killing them softly with the words that I be bringing. Leaving them niggas smelling and looking dead and thinking. Cause we will face all the trials and tribulations. So arm yourself, cause Armageddon is now. Let me show you how these punk ass clowns are going down. Slowly but surely I won't let y'all niggas fold me. Your body bag me, put me on a plate and toe tag me. That'll be emphatically now safer. They call me D.O. because the O carries power. I be Starang, I represent the dreads and the pros.
It's Louisville, you know I represent those that know.
I be the top dog, searching for the big O.
Motherfuckers better act like they know. Suckers beholder, I fold that ass, it's Bill Slugger. My niggas say I make a bigger nigga run for cover. Fools get caught up with words, boy, don't even make me put pine to your spine.
Now your niggas hate me
for reasons. We bring freezes to heated regions, trooping through your
crew like the PM Night demons. Fuck lollygagging, talk coming for ya. Crush that ass to dust just like Sawyer. Beans leaving seems uglier than Ben Green, cause it seems niggas can't understand a thing. But this is how we set it. Get your peeps and meet us in the exit. Load those weapons cause this fucking gun just can't get
locked from your head to your toes.
It's quiet riot, number two spots get blown.
I be the yo, known for the 10-second roll.
Motherfuckers better act like they know.
Shot ya, lock you down, now I got ya. For this jam I am the Phantom of the Opera. Don't say a word, take it to the streets, fuck the props. X marks the spot like Sadat. Strength makes shit hot. Lyrics for days, you've been born. Call me Thunder, the first one out the storm. Now it's on, throats get cut like lawn. My nigga O-Strong packs the 38 long. Skinny nigga, fuck the muscle, I don't tussle. Glock the DOG and let them bust you. I crush you, you say it. Tough guy bullshit may be, but at times they say Strain gets crazy. Forget it, let's just call it he say, her say. Fuck you up in like the worst way. Blow that ass out like candles on your birthday. Rubber, make you and your Mardukes run for cover. So who's the crew running all through your sections? Blacksmith and Wesson connection.
I be the top dog, tonight's up your party. Tell everybody to leave their shot and shake their body. Top dog, tonight's up your party. Tell everybody to leave their shot and shake their body.
I miss the brain, play yourself and catch the sharp elbow.
It's Bill Slugger, you know I was here but got to go.
I be the yo, and you know I don't give a what.
Motherfucks better act like they know.
Evil deeds in the motherfucking house.
All up in your face.
Give it to a Western connection,
give
baby.
It to a Mace, so love in your face like this.
Pick up the Hus. And on my Hus.
The niggas who lie in my face. Get all the Mace in their face like this. Hus. Crazy. The rain. Hus. The weather. The storm and the rain. Bringing it on.
Storm, baby. Just a storm.
Okay, so we're back with DJ Ayers, and we've been talking about natural disasters, but switching it up a bit. So you are probably best known for your, I guess it's like a canonical New York party called The Rub, and recently there's been like a lot of change with The Rub. You guys moved from your longtime home at Southpaw to Bell House in Brooklyn.
Yeah.
But I hear that's going really well. Like, it's kind of stronger than ever before.
Yeah. We did our Halloween party last Saturday, and I think we clicked 850 people, and that's without without the guests. It's just 850 paid. It's been going awesome, and I think we've had to change what we're playing a little bit where we are now. We were at Southpaw for so long, and Southpaw could only hold 550 people, and the main room maybe was 450. So it was big enough, but it was much more in demand, so we would have long lines outside, and I think there we could play what we wanted to, and if people came and they didn't like it, that's great, because I've already got their $10 and they can leave and somebody else can pay and come in. who's gonna want to hear Dipset and Kali Buds and Burnt Songs and whatever else we wanted to play. Now I think it's changed a little bit with moving. Part of it was we had to, call in some favors from some promoters to tell them to get the word out that The Rub is still here. And there's still like people who were like, oh yeah, The Rub. Yeah, I remember that party. That was at Southpaw, and we've been over there for 7 months now at the Bell House. So we tried really hard to get the word out, but in doing so, we were getting legitimate press and magazines on this stuff that we hadn't gone after for a long time,
right?
Which was great, but it changed the crowd up a little bit. And crowds kind of change over the years anyway, just because people who start going to a club when they're 21 aren't going to, when they're 26, 27 aren't going to keep going there.
Yeah. Skinny reminds me that the technical term for this is churn.
Yeah, yeah. So, like, you have some regulars who've been going for all 10 years, and some of them are good friends of ours. But then there's always going to be new faces, and that's really good because it brings a young energy to the party, and we don't get stuck playing old music all the time. Because, you know, when we started the party, what we were trying to go up against was iPod DJs playing the Strokes and the White Stripes and all that stuff for people to do cocaine and smoke cigarettes to. And then B, like these New York hip hop purists who always play Gangstar, Dwick, and especially that I Got It Made and Audio 2 Top Villain, like these really kind of vanilla standards of New York canonical hip hop.
Right.
That it's that like Funkmaster Flex mentality that keeps Hot 97. From playing, you know, whatever weird shit that we like to listen to, and that they think that they're on the cutting edge because somebody played, you know, one Kendrick Lamar song one time, which is still very conservative to me. But you know, like we wanted to play all kinds of weird stuff and everything, and I think the bigger it got, the more we were able to feel like we had a captive audience and play all kinds of crazy shit. I think now we're reeling it back in a little bit, you know, which is good because the worst would be for us to like lose the pulse of what's going on because you know, on the other side of that, there's a lot of shitty new up-tempo music that, you know, we at least have to touch on a couple of things, like pay lip service to that, to keep people interested.
I don't know though. Do you? Because I mean, it seems to me like the spirit of the Rub has always sort of been you guys sort of pushing people a bit, and I don't know. Like, do you feel really pressured to like acquiesce to people's demand that you play like, you know, like David Guetta produced singles for people who are going to play the Super Bowl halftime show? Or
no, I don't think so. I don't feel a whole lot of pressure. I just sort of have always, you know, played a little of this and a little of that, and when I'm playing a little of that, I see it working more now, and so I'll go a little further down that road than I would have before, and it's more kind of seeing stuff that used to work not work,
right.
And trying to figure out what to do other than that. Like, for instance, a conversation I had with DJ 11 was, you know, I played a reggae set and it just kind of like sucked the energy out of the room, whereas at South Pop the roof would have been sweating, you know. You know, when we were breaking down afterwards, we were talking about it, and he's like, "Yeah, well, you know, I mean, there hasn't been a big slow reggae hit in a long time." And
yeah,
I thought about it. I was like, "Oh yeah, like that does." When you are 21, and if you got into reggae because of Welcome to Jam Rock, like Welcome to Jam Rock is probably 5 years old now. So if you don't start your set with that, your reggae set with that, you know, or have a bunch of old heads there, then you know you're gonna you need to play Tech Up Yourself and fast stuff like that, you know, and play Upon the Floor in a dance hall set, you know, and play some Moombahton in a dance hall set. And that's what's sort of exciting about it to me, because Moombahton, like I wasn't really able to play Moombahton at South Ball because it had gotten, you know, we had gotten stuck in a little bit of a rut there with playing a bunch of crunk shit and slow reggae stuff that we can't play now at the new place. So, you know, it forces me to work a little harder to figure out what people's tastes are in the room, and then bend them in the direction of the music that we want to play for our crowd and for ourselves, you know? So it just presents a little more of a challenge, I think, and still, like, nobody's ever played an LMFAO song at the Rub, except for as a joke on Halloween, because our friend Pooja was dressed as LMFAO, you know?
Yo, I heard that, I heard they broke up.
It's not horrible.
I heard they broke up.
LMFAO?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
You
yeah,
sound really excited.
I really don't like them. Them and the Black Eyed Peas, like, I don't mind playing a lot of fast stuff. I don't mind playing, you know, car alarm music. I like Calvin Harris, newer stuff, and I'm not a snob about any of that kind of shit at all. But it's just something about, like, the Black Eyed Peas, the way they take an 80s hit and put some Afrojack synths in there. You know what I mean? It's like this really cynical way of making music by committee, where they're like, if people like this and they also like this, we'll just put them together and, like, do our Vanilla Ice raps over them, and profits will rise 15%. You know, it's just like,
yeah, yeah.
Well, it doesn't seem like any of that music comes from the soul. I mean, I think LMFAO, you could argue that it's like what the Beastie Boys were doing when they were really obnoxious with the giant inflatable penis on the stage and spraying crowds with beer and all that stuff. But at the same time, like, they're fucking Herbs. You know what I mean? Like, what they did was they took what Spank Rock and the Crookers and the Crookers remix of Day and Night and all that shit, and, you know, put it through a Hollywood filter, and then sold it to a bunch of people in the suburbs who didn't know any better. And, like, for somebody who's really into music, it leaves a bad taste in your mouth. Like, I can't tell if that music is good, because when I look at them, it makes me want to throw up.
Well, you know, I don't know.
Maybe that makes me old. I don't know.
Let me sort of take what you said and turn it on its ear a little bit. I think that something that's particularly interesting about, let's say, Black Eyed Peas, right? So, Will.i.am clearly has some taste, but he's a calculating pop producer, and on a, like, almost sociological level, I just think it's really fascinating to watch what he does. Like, I don't necessarily have to like it, but, like, you know, he took what's that song, Baby, Where'd You Get That Body From? I Got It From My Mama. That has a sample from Don Quixote by Magazine 60, which is like a crazy Italo record that you don't just casually stumble upon, you know? Like, he's clearly got some chops, and he clearly, like, his early productions, you know, those dudes were fucking doing windmills in 1990s on stage. I saw them play in a warehouse, like, rapping over Lookout Weekend. And so it's like, it's really weird to me to watch, like, what happens when somebody who knows how to produce, knows records, and has a broad base of musical knowledge tries to, like, capture the zeitgeist of pop music. Because there are all these little, like, hat tips to it, where he's like, I understand that, you know, a certain kind of pop underground type of dance music has these motifs, and it's like, you'll catch some, you know, Dutch House or Baltimore Club or, like, whatever kind of, like, in there, and they clearly know what that is.
Yeah. But,
so I find it interesting from, like, a pop alchemy standpoint, but at the same time, yeah, it's also, I mean, like, people are, you know, repackaging underground culture that you and I pay very close attention to, and, like, just selling it to people in UGG boots.
Yeah, yeah. You know, while you were talking, it made me realize what I dislike about it. It's like that Bullworth effect. It's, if they weren't rapping in it, I wouldn't dislike it. You know, it, weirdly, like, I think if that group didn't have any hip hop roots and didn't have anybody in the group but the white girl, like, and she was Gwen Stefani, I wouldn't have a problem with it. like it's just that it's bad urban music. I don't think of it as like in pop music because I guess because of where they come from, and I think if I thought about it a little bit differently, it wouldn't bother me as much. And it definitely works, but I think for me, like I push pop music far enough at the Rub without having to play stuff that I just straight up don't like, you know?
Yeah, there's pop music is so diffuse of an idea right now that like you don't really even have to get in. You know, somebody could be like really, really into like Two Door Cinema Club, and you know, that's pop music, but it's also like indie stuff, and like you don't necessarily even have to go down the Carly Rae Jepsen rabbit hole to like play pop music.
Yeah, and it's funny because everybody's line is in a different place, and like we did a Rub Radio, and DJ 11 like vetoed a song I wanted to play, which was Justin Bieber, Right Here, which to my ears, it sounds like a good, I mean, I think it has Drake on it, and I like Drake, but to my ears, it sounds like a good classic radio R&B song, but he was just like, nope, Justin Bieber, we can't put Justin Bieber on something, it's gonna, it sends out the wrong message, more or less. I may be misquoting him, but, you know, like, I feel that.
Right.
At a certain point, like if you're playing shit that your dad likes, like it doesn't feel cool, you know. If you're playing like mom van music, like grocery store music, it's not that cool anymore. And like something like Gautier, somebody that I used to know, you know, that kind of straddles the line nicely. But you know, you don't want to be playing that now. You know, you don't want to be playing Gangnam Style in a month.
Right. Well, you know, in defense of dads, I just got an email from my dad. I see it on my computer right now, where he thanks me for sending him a promo copy of the new Miguel album. So.
Oh, cool. Yeah. I need to listen to that album, man. It's fucked. I haven't listened to that.
Oh, it's awesome. It's great.
Yeah. You know what? I'm
going to
buy it right now.
Yeah, you know, it's, man, here's the thing about pop music present versus pop music past is that, and this occurred to me when Skinny and I, we did a remix for Wiz Khalifa when he was on Warner for this single called Say Yeah, and we were sort of aware of him for quite some time because he... Basically, Wiz Khalifa, Mac Miller, and their whole record label is all a product of, like, those guys went to our high school, their management, all their producers are, like, people our age or our friends' brothers, little brothers are doing all the production stuff. Anyway, so he puts out Say Yeah, and it samples Better Off Alone by Alice DJ. And my first thought when I heard it was, like, this was, like Italian dudes beating up people outside the roller rink, like music, like it just like socially the context of that was really of that song and that sample is really unappealing to me because I was around when that song came out. I associate it with a certain time and place and certain people and everything. And whoever produced it, the kid's 19.
Cosmo
said
about freestyle music. Cosmo was just like, yeah, we would throw rocks at people's cars if they were playing freestyle music.
Yeah. Right, yeah.
But he likes hip hop. So it's like, come on, man.
Yeah, but so much of it is like, if you don't have that social context for pop music, if you just remove it, like, there's a lot of stuff where, you know, you and I are probably like, oh yeah, this like freestyle record is awesome, but we weren't living in the time and place where that was like big, and the people who liked that shit, like, we may have hated them
awful.
And hated that music by association. So I think you could say the same thing about like about, you know, some Justin Bieber song where like we just can't remove the context from the music and it makes it a little hard to get over it, but like, it takes someone pretty like brave to like sort of bust through that wall and be like, I don't fucking care that like the people who like this song are people that I detest. Like, I'm gonna just address it on its own merits.
Yeah, the problem with that though is if you're doing it at your own party, then you're entertaining a bunch of people that you don't like, and then they go and tell their friends, and they bring more of those people back, and then you have a horrible pop music party where you can't play anything you like, you know. And if that's not your goal, then it's probably best to give them a spoonful of sugar rather than like the whole bag, you know.
Yeah, that's true. You know, this reminds me in hindsight that when Call Me Maybe came out, I got the instrumental in my record pool, and I loved the string patch on there. It's like, just as far as production value, those strings sound really good, yeah. And there's a break. And I had this idea at the time that I never did, and it's...
Yeah, those strings were awesome. It reminds me of Justice.
Yeah.
I would try to fit, like, do a... mix those two together, but they were out of key. But yeah, it's real similar.
My thought with Call Me Maybe would be to make like a Todd Terjay style dub where the shit is like 9 minutes long and those strings come in 6 minutes in for like
eight bars
and then they go away. But I think...
Yeah, that's the best part of that song.
I think that about a year too late on that idea.
It was a folk song. That song wasn't written as a pop song. It was a folk song, and she became big in Toronto. And then this pop producer said, he's on the same label as her, and he said, we need to do a pop version of that. And then, you know, they did, and it became really big. But I think that's part of the reason they weren't ready with a second single after that is because she doesn't make music like that. Like, they weren't making music like that, and they just happened to have a one-hit wonder with it.
Yeah.
I mean, and it's the same thing is true of Gautier. Like, he's not a good artist. I don't, and it's not because he's pop. It's because he's just fucking boring, you know? And like, he had a song with the featured vocalist on it, who was really good. And, it happened to come up with a hit. But like, if you listen to the rest of that album, nobody's buying that album.
Nah.
You know, people are buying that one song off of iTunes because that album just doesn't have anything to do. It's not like Estelle where you can dig in and there's going to be stuff that you like on that album, or Amy Winehouse or something like that. Like, it's not that person's, you know.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's not a lot.
Thing.
There's not a lot else to him, it seems. Like, you know, some people have like a canon of work and they're pretty high quality, and some people just accidentally have something succeed. But
yeah.
I'd be happy with either for myself. I wouldn't mind
Yeah.
Wouldn't mind having an accidentally successful career.
Yeah, well, I mean, fuck, think about RJ. He just does his thing and does what he does, and then happened to just plugging away sell a song to be the theme song for all 5 seasons of Mad Men, you know.
Yeah.
That's fucking paper. Like, that's so good. And he didn't change anything because they're just playing his beat.
Nope. I mean, you know? As long as
that's perfect.
He's lived around the corner from me in West Philly for the longest time, and it didn't really switch up the way he did anything.
He's smart enough to know that shit comes and goes.
Yeah, true. All right, Ayers, it's been really good talking to you, man.
Yep.
You want to let the people know how they can get more DJ Ayers in their life on the internet and elsewhere?
Yeah, sure. It's just DJ Ayres. So it's djayres.com. Twitter /DJ Ayres, Facebook /DJ Ayres. And I'm going to, I'm starting a new, podcast of interviews too, called Small Talk. And that the first one of those will be up by the time people hear this. So that's just go to djairs.com and you'll be able to find it.
It'll
be on Brooklyn Radio as well.
Is this like a spinoff of Tall Tales by Them Jeans, because you're shorter than average and he's taller than average?
Yeah, and he's my first guest.
He is? Okay, so he's endorsing this.
Yeah. He's all for it. He loved it. Loved it. Yeah.
Yeah. By the way, Them Jeans does a really awesome talking to DJs about non-DJ stuff podcast out of LA. It's called Tall Tales, and soon there will be Small Talk from DJ Ayers.
Yeah.
Well, thanks so much for joining us, Ayers, man. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. Peace.
Peace. Everybody, thanks so much for joining us. This has been the Young Robots Podcast. Thank you very much to DJ Ayers, and apologies to Venice Beach for being unable to air their interview in this episode, but we'll have them in our next episode, which should be out in a couple of weeks. You may have noticed that this episode of the podcast was slightly different than past episodes. We had backing music running behind everything. So I'm just going to give you a quick rundown of what we played, because there's some good stuff, if there was stuff that you liked. That way you could go out and find it. Our theme music, as always, Skinny Friedman's $100 Salad, Sammy Banana's remix, which is on Young Robots. Following that, we had Fashion's The Talk, which is also on Young Robots. After that, Wool's Squares on Plant Music, good friends of the label. Ray Mang, Look Into My Eyes on DFA. OGC, the original Gun Clappa's The Storm on Duckdown. LaSalle, We Go Straight Ahead, that's on Love Shack Records. James Brown, The Boss, Disco Tech Edit, that's a white label. Larry Gold, featuring Black Thought, Gene McFadden, and John Whitehead, No Stoppin' from BBE Records. Nick Hook, featuring Machine Drum, Medium Rare, on Scion AV. That's a fantastic record that Nick just put out, and it's available for free on the internet. Ilya Santana, Slave Dancer on Nang. And lastly, we heard Eddie Kendricks, the late great Eddie Kendricks of the Temptations, Date with the Rain on Tamla. And to get you out of here, here's Frank Ocean's Pyramids, DJ Apt 1 disco dub. You can find this for free on my SoundCloud page, soundcloud.com/DJApt1. And you can find more about Young Robots at youngrobots.com, and more from me at djapt1.com. And stay tuned here, either on Mixcloud, Tumblr, iTunes, or wherever you get your podcasting goodness. Stay tuned for more stuff from Young Robots. Thanks very much. See everybody soon.